I'm going to be in Luke 18 today. So I kind of think I reiterated when we were leading up to this week, you know, the whole idea of the week in prayer and fasting and being intentional to seek the Lord for a week is, you know, when it says in God's word, when we seek him, we'll find him. When we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And so when the whole kind of heart and kind of spending that intentional time, like making that effort to just seek him more than normally we would, is so that he shows us that he's going to keep his promise. He's going to meet us in a very real way, so that hopefully coming out of it, we're more prone to doing what he says. And that's being people of prayer, praying without ceasing, that idea of always seeking God all throughout our days. And one of the sections in scripture that talks about that, or like kind of Jesus exhorting us to do that very thing, is in Luke chapter 18. And it's going to be up there on the screen, hopefully. Just to let you guys know, this is way out of my comfort zone, because I was kind of praying on what to teach, and I had a couple sections go on my heart. And I went to, if you guys know me, if you've been going here for a while, you know I'm somebody that really likes to prepare, and I think that's good. You know, like, we want to rightly divide the word. These are sections I know really well, but I felt like the Lord specifically told me, like, no, I want you to focus on just praying this week. You don't need to prepare. Just trust me. And I'm like, no, Lord, that's not what I do, though, Lord. And again, like, he just was showing me, like, what I was just praying. He's like, hey, your hands are closed. You need to be open. Just trust me. And so anyways, here we go. So I didn't study for this at all. Or, well, I mean, like I said, I know this section. I can rightly divide it, but I didn't prepare. But I feel like this is the word of the Lord for us. So Luke 18, Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says in verse 1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. Or basically, they're to continually seek the Lord in prayer, talk to God, and not lose heart or become discouraged. One of the greatest reasons we stop praying, if not the main reason, is because we become discouraged. Can you guys agree with that? And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of the three of the main ones that I kind of came up with, or reasons we become discouraged in prayer, is because, quite frankly, it's hard work. Talked about this when we were studying prayer, how even though we have this natural thing ingrained in us, God's put in us, says in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, talks about the eternity being in us, like this desire to know God, to seek him. And that's why you see people, like, when they're going through adversity, whether they know God or not, they just instantly look up and they pray, you know, throw up their hands and like cry out to God. God they might not even know, because that's ingrained in us. Now, where that's natural, it is not natural to pray persistently or consistently or continual. How many of you guys have found that to be true in your Christian walk? It is hard to pray and keep praying and keep praying. It doesn't happen by accident. And I think, honestly, some of us kind of look at prayer as this thing that's just going to happen. I mean, how hard can it be? I'm just talking to God. And we kind of treat it like that. And as such, it never happens, or it doesn't often happen, or we don't continue to pray because we treat it like that. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. Otherwise, you know, every week would be like this week of prayer and fasting. But like, we prayed, a lot of us prayed way more than we ever did because we were intentional about it. We made that effort. And what that effort is, it's not working to earn God's favor. Like, Jake awesomely nailed it. Just what I wanted to say, like, just in the beginning of this today when he gave his message, if you missed it, you'll have to watch it online and learn to be on time instead of tardy. But all that to say is, like, talking about this, like, we're not earning God's favor. Like, we're not earning his attention. Like, we have this, like, this ingrained in us, like, or in our flesh, and thinking that somehow we've got to do good to earn God's grace. Even though we know that's not what he saved us on the basis of, right? He saved us despite us not being good. And because he's chosen to love you and he's chosen to show grace, you have his undivided attention. You don't have to do anything in your life to earn that. We don't go to God in prayer. We don't fast because we're trying to gain his attention. We do it because we really have his attention. That's why we take advantage of it. And so when we make that effort to seek him, that's just showing faith. It's showing faith in that God tells me that those that seek him in faith will be rewarded. Like we looked at last week. If I do this, if I talk to him, if I involve him in every aspect of my life, he's going to reward me. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to be intentional. But I got to make it happen. You're not going to get up in the morning earlier than normal to have a set aside time with the Lord accidentally. Amen? Any one of you actually woke up accidentally just to do that? No. Got to be disciplined. In faith, you got to make it happen. You're not accidentally going to get here an hour earlier than normal to go in the prayer meeting back there. You got to be intentional to make it happen in faith and believing that God's going to reward you for doing it. Your actions reflective of your faith. Amen? Amen. You're not going to accidentally pray in that moment of adversity or in that moment where you've got a big decision to make unless you're intentional about stopping. And I'm going to ask God about this before I make any decision. I'm going to look to him for counsel. I'm going to look for him to handle this. It's not accidentally going to happen. And every single one of us in here knows this, all right? We've experienced this in our lives. So that's one reason we get discouraged, because prayer is hard. Here's another reason. Devil hates it. It's powerful. I saw somebody healed this week at prayer, all right? I saw people that were lacking comfort, that were in the midst of depression, be comforted and have peace. I saw him respond to my direct prayer with my son sitting next to me, who was just fasting and wanting to meet with the Lord. And I'm, Lord, can you just meet him in a special way? And then we get done with prayer and I go in the car and he's just like, man, Dad, the Lord just met me. He never does that. I mean, that's not him. Prayer is powerful. We have direct access and communication to the God of the universe. And he hears us. And he, when we do it in faith, he rewards us. The devil knows that. So he is going to do everything in his power to discourage you from doing it. It's another reason why it's hard. It's another reason why we become discouraged. The devil wants you discouraged. He wants you to give up. Another reason is sometimes I just think we have trouble believing in its power, right? If you're anything like me, can have this tendency in my flesh that, all right, Lord, I'll believe it's powerful when I see it. I want to see it and then I'll believe it. But again, that's not faith, right? So often that's our life. We want to see to believe. But what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. So in essence, we're supposed to believe and then we'll see, right? That's what Jesus told Mary and Martha when he was going to resurrect their dead brother who had been in the tomb. And they were like, well, if we roll away the stone now, Lord, he's going to stink. He's been in there for a while. And he said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And that's how it is with prayer, too. We wish we knew what was going to happen ahead of time, and then we'd commit the time to doing it or make the effort. But what Jesus says is, no, no, no. In faith, you have to seek me, and then I'll reward you. And surely, I mean, if we've done it in the past, he's given us no reason to doubt that promise. But yet, if you're like me, I can be so quick to forget it, right? But Jesus here exhorts them, knowing that this would be a problem for us. This is why he's saying it. Just like it would be a problem for them, it'd be a problem for us. All the things they struggle, we struggle with. And he says, he tells them this parable that they ought always to pray and not lose heart, not be discouraged. So he goes on, he gives them this parable. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect? That's you guys that placed your faith in Jesus. Who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Or another way of saying that is, nevertheless, will Jesus find people that pray persistently? Basically, he gives us this story, this example of this judge who's unrighteous, bad dude, as a man and as a God-fearer. Doesn't fear God, doesn't fear man. And there's this widow. She's got this issue. She's bringing it to him, persistently coming to him. And out of annoyance, he didn't want to grant a request, but out of annoyance, he basically says, you know what, just so she's just like a dripping faucet, to get rid of her, I'm going to answer her request. And the point of that is not to say that God's like that with us. And then he goes on to say, God isn't like that with us. If this guy that's unjust is willing to answer this widow's petition because she's persistently coming to him, how much more will the God of the universe that loves you and has said, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The one that says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. The one that says, cast all your prayers to me because I care for you. How much more will he grant your request? You'd be crazy not to come to him. That's kind of the point of that. How can you not pray persistently? Yet he adds that little thing at the end, like, we're going to struggle with it. There's not going to be a lot who do this. And that's kind of the heart of this week, is to kind of show us that when we do what God says in faith, might take discipline at first, an effort on our part. And again, that's not to earn his grace or to earn his ear, but just so that we can experience that he is going to do on his end what he says he's going to do. And that's answer us or give us peace or remind us that he's there and he's listening. You know, for me, more than anything else this week, the Lord reminded me of my first love. He reminded me that his presence is with me at all times. And it's not me not knowing it's there. It's not his fault. It's because my mind is elsewhere if I'm not recognizing that. It's focused on other things. So many things in this world to get distracted by. But yet this week, when I was intentional about keeping my mind on him, I heard his voice. Pray for this person. Buy that person coffee and give him an invitation to church. That person I just brought you to buy your car, that's not an accident. She needs me. I brought her. I left the 99 for her. Pray for your son. I want to meet him right now. Speak this word. It's for somebody in this prayer room right now. That's not meant to be just a one-week thing. He was reminding me, this is how it should be all the time. The cool thing was, I had this exact same conversation about that. Had no idea that's what the Lord was going to show me this week. Last Sunday, he was really trying to prep me for what he was going to show me. And I saw him answer many other people's prayers. And one of the things we're going to do, like I said, the hope is that we persistently pray. We always pray. Not just this last week, but we go into this new year. Because I really sense the Lord wants to reveal himself to us individually and us as a church in a whole new, powerful way. And it's going to come through prayer. So we're still going to have prayer meetings for everyone. We're still going to have times to respond at the end of every service. But one of the other things we're going to have to do is we're going to have these two crates up here. One of them for our prayer requests. One of them for our answered prayers. The one for the answered prayers being bigger than the one for our prayer requests, as our elder Greg Morrow pointed out, is that because God's provision is always greater than our need? Yes. He has a way of answering our prayers in a lot bigger way than we ever ask, right? See, you never, with God, you never have to be afraid of asking for too much. What you really need to be afraid of is settling for too little. He wants to be good. He wants to give. He wants to meet you. He wants to comfort you. And every so often, I'm going to pull some of these answers out just to remind us of what God's doing in people's lives in this body. Amen. And that's what we're going to do right now. before we continue on, just have a couple people just share about how the Lord met them in this week, and hopefully an encouragement to you guys. So I'm going to have Dylan and Carrie Snook come up here first to share. You can give them a round of applause. It's all right.
Let's go. Father, we just thank you so much for meeting us, for being the God that loves us, who has made us promises and has always kept them. So we just ask that you be with us up here and that your glory may be rightly portrayed, because it's nothing that we did. We came to you with empty hands, open, and all we did was receive it. You are the one that put it there. So we thank you for that. And may your glory be shown today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Howdy, church. God is good, huh? All the time. So, yeah, we had a pretty amazing week going into it. It was, hindsight's a wonderful thing that the Lord blesses us with, because then we can look back and really see how he was working the whole way, you know, months in advance, bringing us to a place where we needed to be, I think, you know. So Kiri had a pretty amazing thing happen, and I'll just let her share that to you. Ladies first, huh?
Yeah. Wonderful. Can you hold the mic for me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so sweet. He's so wonderful. All right, so I wrote it down because, because I always get nervous up here, but I'm actually really not nervous right now, which is wonderful because, you know, God's so great. So I'm just going to read it. So Monday morning began our first day of prayer and fasting. I prayed and received clear confirmation of what it was God wants me to fast from, to seek him in prayer. It was cigarettes. I smoked on and off for 14 years. It was my last vice. January 1st rolled around, and I woke up the sickest I've ever felt. I went downstairs to get my coffee and start my day, and then it started. I coughed and coughed, and I spit up blood and dark mucus. Gross, I know. I called my husband in, warning him first, of course. He urged me to call my new primary care doctor, whom I have not met yet. Had not met yet. I had my first appointment set for April, but stubborn me didn't call. The cough got worse. The next day I went to work still so sick, just dragging and feeling so weak. I texted my husband at about 3 p.m. telling him that I think that I have pneumonia. He then tells me to call the doctor. So I finally did. And there just so happened to be a cancellation for a new patient appointment at 7 a.m. the next morning. Just goes to show that procrastination does pay off. I'm just kidding. The next morning, I went to the doctor. The doctor did not do an x-ray, but said that it was most likely the beginning of bronchitis. But we didn't know that if the x-ray would be covered under my insurance, and quite honestly, we couldn't afford the doctor bill. So we decided not to take that chance. I took most of the next day off of work, still so sick. The weekend rolled around, the kids came over, 2 out of 3 of them were sick, so it was a very lazy and relaxing weekend. But I smoked up until I went to bed Sunday morning, because what the heck, I'm done on Monday. Woke up Monday morning from what I believe to be the worst night's rest, but I head down for some coffee and do my daily reading, still so sick. It was the first day of prayer at the annex. I was late. I sat there quietly coughing and begging God to please help me hate cigarettes and to heal me. After the meeting, not knowing that my husband was there, my husband asked Pastor Chris to pray for me. Him and Marcus laid hands on me and prayed a healing prayer. I left there and went to work. It was about 3 hours later that my husband texted me, "Are you still alive?" I replied, "Yes. I never doubt God and his goodness. I am feeling 80% better." He replies with a hallelujah. He texts Pastor Chris to tell him, and Chris replied saying to be ready to give my testimony on Sunday. I was filled with joy. No more coughing or pain. I am blessed to be standing up here telling you of what the God of the universe did for me. Thank you, Lord, for getting me tobacco free and making me hate it.
Yeah, so that kicked off like just a total week of blessing. You know, you don't think that it can get much better than like just a full-on healing. You know, I mean, you could see, you should have seen her. It wasn't good. I was actually really worried, and she's stubborn and likes to procrastinate. So, but it all worked out for the glory of the Lord, right? So, you know, really awesome thing. And, you know, we went in and I wasn't really sure what I should have been, you know, fasting from. I mean, I chose to fast from food because that's the obvious thing. And needing to be ready to work, I figured, you know, I just ate one meal every night, you know, a small meal with some fish, you know, because I love to fish and I had a freezer full of it. And the Lord just put it on my heart that you need to start eating some of that that you've been stocking away. You know, it's just like, what are you doing? You're always asking me for a fish or this, that, and the other. You know, you need to, why is it just sitting in that freezer? So you need to start eating it. So that's all I had all week was fish, 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 fish. So, but it was good. And, you know, but anyway, you know, I didn't have work this week. And we're, this last week, and we're in a position where, you know, it takes everything that we both make to get by, you know, like we're left with not much at the end of the month, you know, I mean, maybe an extra $75 or something, you know, after all the expenses. I mean, it's just not, we get by, but barely. And I was talking about at the beginning here, how the Lord has set it up, you know, months ahead of time. You know, when we moved into the place that we're living, the house that we're in, it was under the impression that we would work some of the money off the rent and we have the option to buy. And it was all like this really awesome thing, you know, and we felt like that was where we were supposed to be. The Lord had, we prayed about it and prayed about it, and the Lord just handed it to us, you know, we moved right in. So we felt really good. And then all of a sudden, you know, after we move in, then the deal that we signed, you know, the owners couldn't do it anymore. They couldn't give us any money off the rent. They couldn't, you know, they weren't really sure if they wanted to sell it or not, and this, that, and the other. And so we started footing the whole bill, and Kiri's job wasn't really giving her the hours that she needed, so everything fell onto my shoulders, you know, and I have a new wife. We just got married in September, you know, so it's like I got a new wife, got a new house, got three kids, you know, and it's just all on my shoulders. And I lost sight, you know, I lost sight of what was important and who my real provider is, that the Lord is the one who provides, not me. And the world has a way of distracting you. And so that started to come down, and slowly we started to just kind of settle into the water. The boat just started getting heavier and heavier, you know, and we started to sink. And because I had taken my eyes off of him, you know, and finally it all came to a head, you know, right before this week of prayer and fasting, where missed a couple days the previous week, wasn't sure how we were going to pay any of the bills, and then kind of find out that there is no work that week. And it's just like, well, what the heck? You know, like, how is this happening? Lord, you gave me this wonderful job. You gave me this wonderful house. I mean, a wonderful wife. I couldn't ask for a better one. You know, three beautiful stepkids and all these things, they're gifts from you, right? Like, you've given these things to me, and why now are they on the cusp where I'm about to lose everything? Like, I was really confused. Like, how could you do this? What have I done wrong? And I'm praying, as, you know, Jake said, you know, you're praying and praying, like, but then it starts to be like this manipulation technique where, you know, if I pray hard enough or if I do something right enough, you know, then the Lord won't be mad at me anymore and he won't take it away from me. And, you know, these things where, you know, the devil just gets in there, man. He just starts, like, sowing dissension in your heart. And it's just a terrible thing and very scary, you know, a lot of fear. What have I done wrong, you know? How did I lose your favor? You know, just lies.
But so we were praying, and on the first day, you know, Kiri left and told me how she was feeling better. You know, then we go back for more prayer, and you know, I just giving it to the Lord, like, Lord, like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. You have to provide. You know, it's really got real with him, and kind of threw it all down. I didn't have anywhere else to turn. And ultimately, in my heart, I know that even if I had somewhere else to turn, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else, you know. But he is it. And then an anonymous donor came up and handed me the money necessary to pay the bills that week. You know, just bam, like that. And I was just like, at first, you know, I'm just like, all right, you know, like, right on, Lord. Like, you know, and then there's that little voice like, oh, Dylan, you're getting it right. You know what I mean? Like, you're realizing where your provision comes from. And this is, you know, good job, man. But that's not the truth. I stand here knowing now that it wasn't me that did anything. It was my fellow in Christ that had a tender heart enough to listen to the Lord when he directed him to help me. You know what I mean? Like, that, it was all him. All I did was have an empty hand. You know, just my hand were open because I had nothing else in it. And I was able to see the Lord work through someone else and just happened to be the guy on the receiving end of it, you know. So it's extreme humility and just a wonderful lesson of love. And that's, you know, and it didn't stop there, you know. So it was like, so I was able to pay for my truck, right? Pay my truck payment. So I didn't have to lose it or welch on one of my payments, you know. And then that being somebody else, you know, in the family here had an issue with a tree over her fence, you know. So it's like, well, I happen to have a truck that now the Lord has provided me to be able to pay for, and I happen to have a chainsaw. I'll be over. You know what I mean? So I get to go over there and I get to bless her. And then she blesses me, you know, I get paid for it. So there's a little bit more money to go towards the bills. You know, then we can buy some food this week, you know, even though I'm not eating it. She was. So I got to provide for her, you know. You know, and we just continued to do that. And it was just, and then just sitting in those prayer rooms and watching the people work, you know, and or not the people work, watching God work through the people, you know what I mean, and just like blessing us and stuff like that. And so, you know, we got that, and then I was able to pick up a little extra work and be able to go be with a couple guys that I really enjoy being around and help them work and get a job really, you know, kicked off that they were struggling with, and just went in there and just going in there with open hands, you know, just open hands saying, Lord, bless the work in my hands, you know what I mean, and for your glory, not mine. And so, you know, all these wonderful things that he's done for us. He healed my wife. He paid my bills last week. And he blessed my hands with work that I was able to go bless others with. You know, those are all awesome things, you know, right? Like, nobody's saying that or not. But I think the most that I got out of this week was having a better understanding of, like, the words that we sing that are up there on the thing, the words that I read in the Bible. It was like I was reading them for the first time. And it was just that feeling of him sitting there ministering to me. It was just amazing. So I thank you for letting us share our story. Yeah. And may the Lord bless you guys. Amen.
Of course, I had more people I was going to talk to, but we're running short on time. There's something else I want to do. But having said that, that's what this kind of crate is symbolic of. You know, basically, one thing I didn't mention with these is, you know, they're just symbolic of what we're doing practically. It's not like throwing something in here is going to get God to answer your prayer. But having said that, like, so often, like, I can cast my care to him, but I'm not really giving it to him. Like I said, my hand's closed. And so, like, what you want to do is really give your prayer to him and surrender it to him. And so, like, when you're throwing your prayer in here, you're kind of symbolically doing that. Like, I'm giving this to you, God, leaving it at your altar, and I'm trusting you. And if you're anything like me, you might have to do that several hundred times before it actually takes. So just keep throwing it in there. And if the Lord answered prayers for you this week, I encourage you, write that down, remember it, and throw it in here. And maybe one Sunday we'll just rejoice with you as we kind of, you know, it can be anonymous, we'll just read it. Now, the flip side, or the other thing I want to touch on, though, is like, so there's prayers answered, but also there's prayers made and or prayer requests. And prayer requests, it's kind of a two-way street. Basically, you know, we're to pray for each other, but you've got to also make it known to us what it is that you need prayer for. Like, we're a family, right? And we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. We're not supposed to hold everything in and not, you know, like, be part of doing life together is sharing what the Lord's doing or what you need prayer for. Like, maybe you need wisdom in something or guidance, or the Lord's doing something big in your life. So I'm going to have the Rashanes come up here because they do have something the Lord's doing in their life and they need our prayers along with that. And they're going to come up and share it. So Chris is here and her husband's going to leave her to come up and share it by herself, because she's definitely the better public speaker. But
ain't that the truth? She's the introvert. I'm not. She does fine up here. I don't. So good morning, church. We just want to tell you guys what God's been doing in our lives the last couple years. And 2 years ago, during prayer and fasting, I started memorizing scripture. And during that week, the verse that was my memory verse was 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless towards him. And that verse has just stuck with me over the last couple years. Just thinking about that verse and what it means, and knowing that God is looking for people to show himself strong in, just really got to me. And it was like, okay, what do I need to do to be that man that the Lord wants to show his strength through? And so while we, year goes by, and this last year, for the week of prayer and fasting, we knew the Lord had more for us. We didn't know what that meant. So we prayed and asked the Lord and continued to pray after prayer and fasting. A month goes by, a couple weeks goes by, a month goes by, and God called us to take over the deacon ministry in the way that we're running it. And but we knew that that wasn't all that the Lord had for us. We knew that the Lord had more for us. And we knew that he wanted to do more through us. So we just were living our lives. I got this wild hair and started taking Hebrew in April of last year. And don't know why. Just, you know what? I need to do something. And I started taking biblical Hebrew. And through that, in July 1st, I switched to modern day Hebrew and didn't know why. And Jeff Stewart came on the 14th, and we thought we were going to get a France update. And little did we know, Chris and I got a calling. through Jeff's standing up here and talking to you guys and talking to us, the Lord was speaking directly to Chris and I. And I've always prayed for a vision from the Lord. God, I want to know where you have us. I want to know that I am, that you've got something for us. And through that, the Lord spoke to my heart, Israel. Israel is where I have you, Josh. And, and little did I know that God was doing something in my wife's heart too. She never had a vision for Israel. She's never had a vision for, she will go, but it wasn't like she had a calling for anything like that. She was called to our five kids and to her husband, and that was fine. But she had in that time she had or that day she the Lord met her, spoke to her, and you want to tell?
Sure. when he started, he's always had a love for Israel, just found it fascinating. But then I thought that sending him on the tour 2 years ago, two and a half, almost 3 years ago, I was like, okay, well, he's going to get that fascination out of his system. It did not work. He came back with just a real burden on his heart for the nation of Israel and for the people there, Jews and Arabs, both, just the people. And so when he decided to start taking Hebrew, I may have rolled my eyes more than once and been like, okay, yeah, go ahead, take Hebrew, yeah, sure, whatever. And the Lord really convicted me all in one weekend about, you know, like, don't look down on what I'm doing in your husband's life. Like, this is not from him, this is from me. And it was very humbling. And then, like Josh said, we came to church on the Sunday on July 14th expecting to hear an update on France and being excited for what God was doing over there. And instead, God said, no, this is for me to call you. I'm calling you. Ezekiel chapter 2 talks about the Lord telling to Ezekiel, stand up and say what I'm going to speak to you. And verse 2 says, and the Spirit stood me on my feet. And I remember so clearly on that day that I could not sit in my seat when Jeff said, you know, if God's putting a calling on your heart, I want you to stand up and have those around you come around and pray. And I couldn't stand. I didn't stand on my own. The Lord did that. And he spoke one word to me, and it was Israel. And I didn't know what he was thinking. He didn't know what I was thinking. And we sat down after the service, both of us kind of going, that was intense. And he said, well, what has God put on your heart? And I said, Israel. And he opened up his notebook and he was like, he showed me this one word that he'd already written prior to that in the service. And it said, God has already given me a calling and my calling is Israel. And the fact that there was unity in that for us, I think was large. So we spent the next couple of weeks, months thinking, we're crazy. This is insane. What are we doing? And I remember the Thursday after that, I sat down and I was just going through my daily reading and I asked the Lord very clearly, if this is from you, would you please give me verses? Because I'm going to need those to fall back on in the moments of doubt. I need something that is specifically from you in your word that I can turn to in all of this. When I think I'm crazy, when others think we're crazy, when the world is crumbling around us, I need something to know that this is directly from you. Would you please give me that? And I opened up to my daily reading, and it was in Isaiah 42, and verses 6 through 9 say, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And God literally just spoke to my heart, those are your verses. That is for you. Do not lose them. And it was intense. So,
yeah, and through that time, too, Lord was speaking to me. Isaiah 6 came up randomly, and it's not random, it's the Lord. Joshua 14, talking about Caleb and the hill country, and Caleb saying, give me, he's 85 years old, and he says, give me the hill country, for perhaps the Lord will give me the hill country. Over the last couple months, we have continued to ask for confirmation in this, because we look at each other and go, we're nuts, we're crazy. And God is continually had confirmation for us up until, was it last weekend? Up until last weekend, we didn't know what we would be doing. No clue. And up until what? Was that Thursday? We had no contacts yet. We had no response. Last Sunday, we met a couple here at church, and they heard about what we were doing, and they wanted to take us to lunch. So they took us to lunch. Turns out, it was the perfect couple to meet. They're in and out of the Middle East all the time, and they have contacts. They put us in contact with a gentleman last night, and we're going to go see him in Nazareth. Perfect person to make contact with in Nazareth. My Hebrew teacher got back to us this week, and instead of meeting us in a cafe in Haifa, she's invited us to her kibbutz, and she wants us to come see her and meet her friends and family in her village. So we're going, and we're saying, Lord, what do you have for us along the way? During that Ezekiel 2, that was the week after, Chris, that you taught on Ezekiel 2, and one of the things that you've said, what you said was God gives us just enough info to move forward. Once we complete the first step, another will follow. And last night we were sitting there on the couch talking about this, and she's like, I'm going to go grab my notebook. So I went and grabbed my notebook, and we're reading through our notes on either side of that, and they all are, it's just like right there. And one of the last things Jeff said, he said, oh yeah, I've heard this before and nothing happened. And I wrote that down, and he said, we can err in hope. I still think we could be crazy. I still think I'm half expecting God to change directions halfway through. And that's okay. If God moves us to there, great. Right now, there's so many giants in the land. It's a closed country. If you're not Jewish, you're not going to live there. You have to be invited. There's so many different things that have to happen in order for any of this. This could be a calling for now or for 10 years from now. We don't know what the Lord's doing, and we are just continually we're going to walk through each door that the Lord opens until there's no more doors to open. And it could change. We don't know. But we're trusting the Lord and we're pressing forward. The other thing that Chris said was the best place to be isn't over your head. And we are definitely in over our head.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Amen. Let's pray for these guys, all right? Lord, I just lift up my brother and my sister as kids. And Lord, the passage or the verse that came to my mind was in Luke 11 where you're teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And you say, knock and it'll be open to you. We need to knock. And that's what these guys are doing. They sense your calling on their life. They're following the steps that you give them that lead to the next step. And they're looking for you to open the doors you want to open. And so as their church family, we come alongside them and we ask for that direction. We ask for that clarity. We ask for unity between the two of them by your Holy Spirit for them to see what your will is in their lives. And Lord, as they go over to Israel here soon for 3 weeks, right? Lord, I just pray you continue these divine appointments. You're already given them. Yes, you would lay the path before them. They would just be seeking you and you'd be making it obvious who you want them to talk to, where you want to meet. Establishing their steps, Lord, and just clarify this calling you have for them. Whatever that might be. I know them and I've talked to them and they're with open hands. They know that this might turn into anything for that matter. They don't really understand what it's going to turn into, but they're just trying to be obedient to listen to your voice and follow. And that's the best place we can be, Lord, wherever you want us to be. So I pray that we come alongside and we remember them in our prayers and you just be faithful to it says in your word, he who calls you will surely do it. Mm. And I'm thankful for that promise that we don't have to make anything happen in our power. We can just cling to our Father and let you lead us into whatever you have for us in this life. And I pray it'd be like that for them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I'm going to have the worship team come back up here, and we are running a little late, and I'm sorry for that, but I really want to kind of tie everything together and just, if you will, give you, some pastors, they like to give a vision update for like the year going into the new year for the church. And, I can stand here and just be honest with you. This isn't my church, so I'm not going to give you my vision. What I'm going to give you is God's vision for his church, and it hasn't changed since he originally started his church. And it says in Acts 2, verses 42, starting in verse 42, and they devoted themselves, this is the first church, to the apostles' teaching or the word of God, in the fellowship or being together, to the breaking of bread or eating together, what were called love feasts with communion, and prayers. And the result of devoting themselves, being intentional about doing those four things, because they don't happen by themselves. Like, these were the four things they focused on. The result, in awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Four things they committed themselves to. Whole lot of books and resources out there that tell you how to grow your church. Four things God says. The Word of God. I think we've been devoted to the Word of God for a long time, and we're going to continue to be devoted to the Word of God. Personally in your life, are you devoted to the Word of God? Fellowship and breaking bread or eating together. Love feasts where they would have fellowship together. I believe the Lord's been trying to teach that to us individually and as a church over the last couple of years, and I see fruit from that. Not just coming together on Sunday, but going out there and doing life together. That's one of the reasons for the home groups. That's one of the reasons for this women's ministry the Lord's kind of started up, because it establishes those platforms for us to get to know each other more than just saying hi on Sunday and living together. I believe he's been teaching that. I believe what he's going to teach us is that fourth thing this year, to pray. And not just to pray, to be devoted to prayer. And if we're devoted to these things, here's what happens. Awe comes upon every soul. Don't you want to be in awe of God in your life? I love those moments where I'm like, that was God. I had a lot of those this week. Not meant to just be a weekly thing. Meant to be every single day. And it comes from being devoted to these things. What else does it say here? It says many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Some people make the mistake of chasing after signs and wonders to get them to happen, thinking you can actually teach yourself how to do them. You know what it says right here? You be devoted to these four things, they'll just happen. We prayed, somebody got healed. We prayed, somebody got direction. We prayed, financial provision was provided. If you just seek Jesus, that's what these four things lead to. Signs and wonders, you'll be Spirit-filled. That's who enables you to do signs and wonders. It's the giftings of the Holy Spirit, which God wants you to be filled with, which comes from these four things, being devoted to them. What else does it say here? These people were Spirit-filled. This is God's church. They were in awe of God. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. There was unity. There was no gossiping about each other. There was no uncovering each other. There was no criticalness or judgment towards each other. They were together in unity. Living together. Doing life together. Goes on to say, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were generous. There was no, this is mine, that's yours. No, they saw it for what it was, because they're focused. They were devoted on those things and their focus was on Jesus. So they saw all their stuff for what it was. It's all his. He's my provider. Just like Dylan was saying, it's not mine. He's going to provide all my needs. Use it. I give it freely. Somebody's in need, I'm going to give it to them. I want to love them. They're my brother and sister. They didn't have to strive for that. It just came out of the overflow of their closeness with the Lord. Goes on to say, on top of unity and generosity, says, and day by day attending the temple together, that means they were meeting together in a large corporate setting, going to church for all intents and purposes, what we're doing here. And breaking bread in their homes so they would meet in small group atmospheres. or individually outside the church, they receive their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. So on top of it, on top of unity and generosity, they were thankful. There was no covetousness. There was no like discontentment. Man, they were just thankful for what God was doing, what he had given them. And they were praising him. They had worshipful hearts. And it gave them favor with people. They didn't have to earn favor with people. People just saw that they were unified. Which, that's not something you see out in that world out there. They saw that they were generous. Again, not something that's natural out there. They saw that they were thankful. Again, not something that's natural. And people saw it, and you better believe they're like, I want some of that. What the heck's going on with these people? And what does it say? The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Did they add to their number day by day who was being saved?
No.
People saw Jesus Christ in them manifesting himself. They saw his glory. They saw how unnatural what was going on in God's church, and it attracted them, and they got to just share the simple answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And it all came from just being devoted to those four things. And I believe the vision, if you will, or the focus. He wants us to be devoted to all these things, but the focus for this year is to teach us how to pray. Teach us individually in our lives to be, as we looked at earlier, persistently praying. All the time. Always praying. Doesn't mean you're always on your knees. You're going about your day and you're just talking with God. Understanding his presence is with you all the time. And he wants to be involved in everything in your life. That's what he wants to teach us individually. And then as a church, sharing with each other, asking for each other to pray for the things we have going on in our lives, not just trying to do it ourselves. And then sharing with each other all the wonderful times he's answering our prayers. Amen. So that would be my exhortation, my encouragement going into this new year. The Lord wants to teach us to pray. And at the end of that passage, will the Son of God come and find those of faith? Basically, those that are doing that. Is he going to find that here? I hope so. I hope he's going to find it in my life. I hope he's going to find it in your life. Because as I said before, I believe the Lord wants to pour his Holy Spirit out on us individually in this church. And it's going to come through prayer. Amen. We know that when we ask for his Holy Spirit, he doesn't want to withhold it from us. He wants to generously give it. And we know that if we seek him in faith, he is going to reward us. These are promises. Don't have to doubt them. But in faith, we need to believe and seek him for him. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, these crates are available. Please don't come up in the sermon and do it and like distract or whatever. But any other time when we're worshiping, when we're praying, when we have response times, like right now, we're going to have our prayer team around the room. You're welcome to come up and just put your prayers in here, whether it's a request or a prayer answered. But other than that, we're just going to worship the Lord with one last song. If you need prayer for something, please, and you can put it in here, but don't forsake like asking your brothers and sisters to pray for you. We're here to pray for you. And man, guys, I feel like I can't put into words just everything the Lord did this week in me personally and other people's lives. But having said that, I hope he met you and taught you just that truth of like being somebody persistent in prayer, and like when we seek him, he'll respond. And if he didn't, it's not like you've missed some opportunity. It's always there. All we have to do is reach out to him like he wants us to. Amen? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for the stuff you did this week for us in answering our prayers. I thank you for everything you're going to do. I thank you for everything you're still doing, because some of us, the prayers didn't get answered, but that's because you're working. Whether we see it or not, you're always working. and you're working right now. And as Dylan said, in hindsight, one day we're going to be able to look back and say, oh, I saw how God answered that. Maybe it was the way we wanted. Maybe it wasn't the way we wanted, but it was way better. Lord, teach us to pray, just like your disciples asked. We want to become people of prayer. We want to understand, Lord, if you've just reminded me this week, if I live in such a way of believing and knowing that your presence is with me all the time, I'm going to live way differently than if I'm distracted by other things. I'm not going to look to do things on my own. I'm going to look to your power. I'm not going to freak out when things don't go my way. I'm going to turn to the one that gives me a peace that surpasses all understanding, that's plenty capable of handling anything. We have a relationship with the God of the universe whose Holy Spirit is inside of us. We want to take advantage of it, Lord. And for some odd reason, you listen to us. Even when we're talking foolish things, you still hear us. And you will answer according to your perfect will, which we have no reason to ever doubt will always be with our best interests in mind. Help us believe it, Lord, so that we can step out in faith and seek you and then see you answer and do those things in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.